Are you thinking about joining a real estate team? Well, you might want to think twice. In this video, we're going to go over what team leaders aren't telling you that can make or break your career. Let's get into it. As a team leader myself, I know the pros and the cons intimately of joining a team. I started out solo, I eventually joined a team, and then ultimately created one. So I've got a unique perspective on the pros and cons of joining a real estate team. So I wanted to take you guys through an unbiased look of exactly what that looks like with five pros and five cons of joining a team so that you can decide if joining a real estate team is right for you. I tend to err on the side of being a more positive person than negative, so I'm going to start with the five pros first. Make sure you stick around and tell all of the cons because the last one could easily change your mind about joining a team. The first and probably the most common pro that I see for joining a real estate team will be shared costs and expenses. Whenever you become a real estate agent, as any of you guys that are watching are licensed and already know, is that it is not exactly inexpensive to join. Now, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't really cost that much, but when you're transitioning into a new career that might have a 6 to 12 month lead time before you make a paycheck and you're going to be working full-time in that capacity and generally not able to work another job, at least not successfully for an extended period of time, then the entry costs are very important. And then all of the business costs that happen afterwards are very important. You want to keep those expenses down, particularly if you're low on the savings that you are going to be using for this business. There are a lot of different team structures out there. So for this exact example, I'm going to be using more of a traditional team model where you do have access to a ton of different tools, resources, even admin generally for that team, among many other things that I'll talk about in this video. But those are kind of the big things that I'm talking about for this topic. So if you go solo and you join a brokerage, you're generally going to get a pretty decent list of resources for you to use for your business. And it's kind of the bare bones and you're just given the tool, but not necessarily great training on how to utilize the tool. And even if you do get that training, you're still going to have to put in the work to set up that tool. Let's take a CRM, for instance. Most real estate agents are not using their CRM even at 5% capacity, let alone 30, 40, or 50. Whereas most teams, because they've got a team structure and they've got multiple personalities inside of that structure, they need to know the CRM in and out, and they'll generally have it built for you right when you come in. So when I first started, I spent months and months trying to get my CRM right, trying to build a great buyer attack program that was going to drip on emails on potential buyers, same with sellers. Then I'm going to use reminder systems. I'm going to set up all of the alerts for birthdays and anniversaries and special dates. Then I'm going to do the market reports and, you know, setting up all of the buyers on searches and how do I automate these and how do I make it as easy as possible so that I'm not spending so much of my time just doing data entry and I can spend more of the time doing what is good for me, which are the business generating activities or money generating activities. When you join a team that has a successful track record, these kind of things are generally set up for you. This means you get into the business and running a lot faster. As most people know, it takes about 6 to 9 months to get your first closing most of the time. Whereas in my experience, most of the teams that people join, they can shorten that down to 3 to 6 months and even less for certain teams. The second pro I want to talk about is a favorite of mine. It is the most important pro in my personal opinion, although I know some people are going to disagree, but hear me out. It's mentorship and support. Great mentorship cannot be overlooked. It is absolutely a game changer. If you look at any real estate professional with an 87% failure rate that we have, if you look at the ones that succeed versus the one that don't, a lot of times, not every single time, there are a ton of exceptions, but I would say probably 80% of the time, the ones that succeed had a good mentor or at least a mentor. A lot of times it doesn't even need to be a good one. It's somebody that is in the industry that has already succeeded that can help you take you from where you are to the next level. And you can get mentorship and support from a standard brokerage by going solo. That is 100% correct. But the level of support is not, it's not the same. It's not even close to the same in most instances. In a lot of real estate brokerages, when you go solo, you're gonna have a managing broker, or a manager, maybe even a trainer if you're at a bigger brokerage that offers a lot of support like that. But your time with them is going to be limited, and their time with you is going to be limited, and they're also responsible for more agents. And the more support that the brokerage has typically means the more agents that that person is responsible for, which means if they're managing 150 agents and people are coming in for, hey, you got a minute, you got a minute, you got a minute, eventually they're going to fall into a pattern of giving the same advice over and over. And in my experience, every agent needs a little bit different of a touch. There is a different methodology for every single agent. Yes, you can give them a main way to do business, and some people will take off with that. But a lot of times we need the mentorship that we're getting to be tailored to what we want, right? So somebody that's really good at cold calling, but not so good at open houses, doesn't need to be taught by the person that only knows how to do open houses. And they just go, just do open houses, do more open houses. And they're like, but I want a cold call. Where are the scripts? Where is this? Where is that? You're not always going to get dedicated support at a brokerage, where you will generally find that on a team. Now, that's not true across the board. There are a lot of team leaders that focus on a couple of ways of doing business, and that's generally what they preach. But if their support structure is good and their leadership is in place properly, you should be getting a very tailorized approach to your business, not theirs. What this does is it helps accelerate that learning curve so that you can get to the closing table much faster and therefore increase your chances of being successful in this industry. Remember that 87% number I just talked about? That is an insanely high number to have as a failure rate in a single industry. And when you look at the success rate of, or failure rate in this case, since we're using failure rates, of people that join teams, it is much higher. I don't have the exact number, but for us on this team, we have almost a 90% success rate, whether they're successful on this team and stay on the team, or they find their success here and eventually go out on their own. You don't see those numbers across the board. And then you've got the dedicated support that comes with a team versus a brokerage. Most brokerages, again, it's not across the board, most brokerages are going to provide you very little support in terms of admin staff, a transaction coordinator, social media managers, video editors, whatever the thing is that you need, whereas most teams are going to have that. So you're going to essentially feel like you've got a whole team behind you because you do. Whereas at a brokerage, you might have some of those, but a lot of times what I find is when they offer a transaction coordinator, it's really a compliance manager that's making sure you're not screwing up. They're not actually scheduling things, monitoring deadlines, making sure everything's going smoothly, communicating with your clients, communicating with the other agent, making sure that everything goes so that you get a great review at the end and they have a positive experience to use you in the future. Instead, you're getting somebody that's there to lay the hammer down when you screw up. The third pro is probably the one that most people are going to find most important, particularly newer agents, but I still think the mentorship and support far surpasses this. But the third pro is lead generation. Most teams will already have an established way of generating leads and are generally bringing in leads in droves into their business. That's why they're hiring new agents, at least that's how it should be. I have more leads than I can handle. I'm going to bring on more people, train them to do things the way that I have learned how to do them and the way that would best suit them. And then I'm going to feed them with leads. And then we're going to have lead generation services that they can use to generate their own leads. This will help alleviate a little bit of that pressure of trying to find clients. Remember that 6 to 9 month window for your first closing. And then from there, it generally takes about 2 years to get up and established and about 5 years to get really cranking and have a repeatable system. That's a long time. Whereas on a team, you can cut that time real quick. And then you get that additional bonus of the team leads that are getting provided for you on most teams. And that can kind of help you through those times when you're still building your business and building your pipeline. So this means you can focus more on client outreach, servicing the client, and getting future business from that client forever. When you start off and you don't know what you're doing in the beginning and your mentorship and your support's not super great and you screw something up on your first few deals, the likelihood of that person calling you to go sell their home is much, much lower if they did not have a stellar experience when purchasing a home with you. Remember, people want to purchase with a friend, but they want to sell with a professional. And if you didn't show that professionalism during the home shopping phase and the process thereof to close it, they're probably not going to use you to sell their home. The fourth pro is the ability to specialize. When you join a brokerage as a solo agent, you're just going to get thrown into the mess. You do residential, commercial, buyers, listings, transaction coordination, marketing. You're going to have to do all of the roles. Whereas when you join a team, you're generally going to have a very specific role. Some teams will even narrow it down so much as having listing specialists and buyer specialists. That's not something I believe in personally, but that is the way a lot of teams are ran, especially the traditional style teams. And although this sounds like you're limiting your business, it's all about focusing on one avenue and getting hyper successful before elevating to the next thing. Let's take buyer's agents, for example. You start off as a buyer agent, and you get very, very good at working with buyers, and you don't clutter your mind with, well, I got to learn a listing presentation. How do I overcome those objections? What do I say when I'm there? How do I walk through the home? What do I point out? How do I stage the property? You're taking out a good portion of the business to focus on one section of the business, get really good at it, and then you can move on to the next one. Whereas you can do this in a brokerage, but if a listing falls in your lap and you're a solo agent, you don't have a lot going on, you're going to take it. And I've got no problem with that. In fact, the agents on my team do both buyers and sellers. We tried to do this listing specialist, buyer specialist, and I didn't like it. It felt wrong to me to take a listing that somebody worked hard at and they earned it, and then now we take it and hand it to somebody else. But that's just me personally. Whereas a lot of the teams that might work like that, there is an inherent advantage to that. And the big thing that this does when you specialize is it gives the client a better experience. If you're focused on doing buyers and you do buyers all day and you're really good at buyers and you know the buyer objections and you know how to write the contract right, you know how to negotiate really well on their behalf and run all the deadlines and do all of that, and you got a transaction coordinator on the back end helping you with all of that other portion, and you're not cluttered with how do I cold call for listings, how do I do this for listings, how do I door knock, how do I then do the listing and get the proper percentage and you know, all of that other stuff, it really helps that customer service because it feels like you know what you're doing, like you're years and years ahead of where you're actually at. And number five, probably one of my agent's favorite pros for joining a team, is the work-life balance. A lot of teams are built to where work-life balance is a real thing, and it's something that they preach. It's something that we preach on our team. If you want to go and enjoy your kids' basketball games every single Friday and Saturday and you don't want to work those days, cool, a team environment is great for you because they can make sure that you're focused on that Monday to Friday or Sunday to Friday work lifestyle, and that's when they're going to give you the things that you need to do to progress your business forward. And then you can focus the Friday and Saturdays doing the basketball games, hanging out with the kids, playing in the pool, doing whatever it is that you like to do. And because of all the support that you generally get on a team versus a brokerage, and you're not having to run 50 different roles within your business, because that's what it's like when you're solo. You're the marketer, they're the social media, you're the CEO, you're the IT guy, you're the, or girl, you're the, you know, insert every little thing that you've got to do. Whereas on a team, they're going to take a lot of that off your plate so you can focus on your highest and best use of time, which is something I talk a lot about on this channel. And because you get the added benefit of a little bit of lead flow, maybe you don't have to lead generate as hard when you're on a team, although I think you still should lead generate 3 hours per day, but that's beside the point. If you're on a team where they kind of allow a little bit more of a lax environment like that, because they're providing some stuff, they're providing lead flow, and you're able to take that and run with it, and you don't have to do as much work, you can enjoy a 30-hour a week, a 20-hour a week lifestyle, and that's something that you would like, then this is a great avenue for you. And those are a few good pros of joining a team, but let's take a realistic look at some of the cons, and some of them are pretty hefty. So let's get with our very first con, splits. A lot of teams are going to have heftier splits than you will generally see at a brokerage. Now, in order to run a team successfully, it needs income. It needs fuel coming in so that they can fuel the fire that is the team and buy the leads and turn the leads and have the ISAs to do all of that work so that you can get appointments instead of cold leads and learn how to nurture them yourself and all of this great stuff. But it comes at that cost, and that cost comes from the agents doing the work. On a standard traditional team model, you can expect probably a 50 to 70% split, meaning you keep 50 or you keep up to 70. Sometimes they go even higher than that, depending on the team. But the less you give to your team, the less they are able to provide for you, which is kind of a benefit in and of itself because that means you can find a team that offers the things that you need and not all this extra fluff that you're paying for that you don't use. But at the end of the day, a lot of real estate professionals have a really hard time justifying giving up half of that paycheck to their team leader or to the team in general so that they can use those funds to make the entire team better. And depending on your personality type or how you feel about these splits, some people just can't deal with them. In fact, that's one of the most common common objections that I get when I am interviewing for new recruits for my team is that they see those splits and they go, well, that's just too much. That's not going to work for me. What a lot of agents aren't looking at is the cost of sale that that team leader is providing and all of the services that they're providing and how much that actually costs to run. And that's especially so if they're doing the leads. So here's how I look at it. Let's say on our team, all of our team leads are at 50-50. You as the agent keep 50%, me as the team leader keep 50% to run the team from. And I bring in the lead and I nurture that lead for 6 to 12 months or sometimes even longer than that. And I build this great relationship and then I pass them off to you in an appointment. You do a buyer consultation, which takes about an hour. And then you take that lead and you go show them homes. On our team, we average 4 homes per client. And so that's about one afternoon. It's generally about 3 to 4 hours at most of showing property. And then you write that offer, negotiate it out, and hand it to a transaction coordinator, and they take it to closing from there. The transaction coordinator does about 12 to 14 hours of work for on most teams. If they're a full service transaction coordinator, that's 12 to 14 hours. And that's not to mention the 30 hours of previous lead nurturing that happened before. And 30 hours is kind of a made up number. I don't really know exactly how much every single lead costs because they're all a little bit different, but they do cost a lot of time. Just slamming the phones every week, just keeping up with them, all that stuff. So they're doing 30 hours of work and you're doing 3, yet you're getting 50% of the income. And I know somebody's going to put something down in the comments about how unfair it is or what have you, but at the end of the day, that's exactly it. And you're going to take home $5,000, let's say, of a $10,000 commission, and they're going to take home $5,000. But they've got to pay the ISA and the transaction coordinator and the social media person and da-da-da-da-da and all these other things. And then they've got to be compensated for their time for building the product in which you are doing business. Now, whether you like that or not, it doesn't matter. It is a con. You are going to make less per transaction. But what I found out is most real estate professionals make more on a properly built team because they're overall going to do a lot more business. And then that follow-on business keeps happening because the systems are in place to make sure that you're getting that follow-on business. For those that don't know, in the real estate industry, a lead is worth approximately $110,000 to $150,000, depending on which coaching platform and which studies you look at, over the life of your career. So that one $10,000 or $15,000 transaction that you're getting, let's say you leave the team in 2 years and that buyer comes back to you to sell later, you're going to be on whatever split you are at that time. And so you're actually getting quite a lot of value there. If they really are worth $100,000 and you got, for easy numbers, call 20% of it on the first sale and they do 4 more transactions with you over the years and you made out like a bandit, and quite frankly, your team leader kind of got the raw end of that one. Now, of course, that does depend on how they've got everything set up in their business. Some team leaders put in stipulations that those are their leads and you can't close them in the future and da da da. I think that's a little much, but each team leader can do what they would like. The second con I want to talk about is less autonomy. If you're a super independent person and you want to run things the way you want to run them and you don't care how other people are successful with it, a team might not be best for you. Being part of a team means that some of the business and methodologies that they use, you're going to have to fall in line with how the team does it versus how you think it should be done. Please keep in mind that most people that are joining a team are either not at the production levels that they want, or they're new, or there could be a number of other reasons, but it almost always falls on their business is not where they want it to be. So if your team leader is trying to get you to use their methodologies, their systems, and do things the way that they know is successful, they've got a proven track record of real estate professionals that are successful using their systems, it's probably wise to use their systems too. But a lot of people are going to find this as a pretty big con, and I don't blame them. Number 3. 3 is a con that will sneak up on you, and it is one that I see so freaking often, and that is dependency. Dependency on the team. A lot of team members get very complacent and start getting dependent on the team that helped them. And this isn't a bad thing all in all, but it could mean that you lose a little bit of that drive, a little bit of that effort, and ultimately make less money because you get really comfortable with everything. When you start seeing the leads come in and all of the support and the mentorship and everything's just flowing really easily because you're on a team, it makes it a lot harder to make that jump when you need to make that jump. I actually know some team leaders that have rules set in place where if you exceed a certain amount of volume, they'll kick you off the team because they want to see you grow to the fullest extent possible. A good buddy of mine actually has an $8 million rule. If you do $8 million of volume on his team, you're not invited back come January 1. And although that seems a little bit counterproductive, they're doing it because it's what fills their cup. A lot of us team leaders are doing it because we like seeing you guys succeed. When I jump into team leadership, I actually took a pretty big pay cut because I was selling anywhere from 60 to 70 homes every single year on my own while I was a team leader, but I was focused on mostly my sales. It was harder to focus on the team. I made the decision to focus more on the team and take a pay cut because it fills my cup. It makes me feel good knowing that my agents are coming here and exceeding the life that they would generally do on their own because of the systems and support that I've built here on this team. Now, I'm not every team leader, and every team leader is not like me. I can promise you that. A lot of them are doing it purely for the money. I understand that. So before I spin off on another subject here, if you join a team and you'd like to prevent that dependency on that team and make sure that you're constantly growing, which you can always constantly grow on a team, by the way. But let's just say you're like, hey, I don't want to do this forever. Give yourself a deadline and eventually you're going to have to make the jump. It's one of the hardest things for real estate agents to do is know when to jump, because when you leave a team and generally even a brokerage, you switch brokerages, you're generally going to see a hit in your business because there's a lot of things that take off of your time when you're trying to go to a new brokerage, or in this case, from one team to solo. You've got to start building all of those systems. You've got to make sure everything's going, but still try to cradle the business that you have right now so that you don't lose any of it. The fourth con I want to talk about is the potential for conflict. If you join a team, you are going to have more personalities that you're going to have to deal with. You're generally going to have somebody above you, whether that's a team leader, a pod leader, the team owner, an admin that is, you know, in charge of the training or what have you. Whatever the structure looks like, you have to work with other people and you've got to be able to be friendly inside of that environment. And as we all know, sometimes there are conflicting personalities. This isn't good, bad, or anything other than it just is what it is. So you just have to be okay with that. When you're solo and you join a brokerage, if you don't like somebody, you just don't go into the office to see that bozo. Or, you know, if they're not in the office all the time and you are, then you generally don't have to worry about them and you only need to work with them when you have a deal with them. Which I can promise you this, if you are brand new to real estate, you're going to have some deals with other agents that you don't like, that you do not want to deal with. You want to gouge out your own eyeballs and scratch out your eardrums because some of the dumb stuff they say. It is a part of the industry. And I think a lot of that's because, for the most part, real estate agents are, in my opinion, very poorly trained, and then that causes conflicts, and then we're sitting here going, hey, why didn't you do this the right way? Or they're doing it to you. Like, hey, there's a better way to do this. Why did you screw this up? How did you screw this up? I don't even understand it. And then that causes tensions to rise. But the same thing can happen in a team structure, just with somebody that you've got to work with more closely and more often. And with a team, it's very interesting too, because you're going to have to work with differing personalities. A lot of real estate agents fall into the kind of bubbly personality. For those that know the DISC personality, the I and the D in the DISC personality are the two most common traits for an agent. Whereas a lot of the admin staff is going to be an S or a C personality, the mama bear type or a very analytical type and things like that. So a lot of times that's going to cause a little bit of butting heads. And it's frustrating when the person that's supposed to be handling your paperwork and you aren't clicking the right way because you have differing personalities. So my point here is just make sure you're able to mold to the different personalities on the team. And if a conflict does come up, just make sure you bring it up and try to soften it a little bit and work through it. And the fifth con, the one that a lot of people aren't really going to think too much about, but it does definitely have an effect for most people that are on a team, that's brand identity versus personal branding. When you join a team, you are generally, most teams anyway, are going to require you to use all of their branding. Now, a lot of times they even take the face and the name off of the signs and the open house signs and your business cards, and they put their website and they put their phone number, they put their email. So they're doing this to kind of help you, but they're also doing this to protect the organization as a whole. You know, if everything is going to you, if you decide to leave the business, everything that was passed over to you gets completely lost. Whereas when they're building a team, if they hold all of that closer and one person leaves, it doesn't hurt the team as a collective. But when it comes to brand identity versus personal branding, a personal brand is getting more and more important as time goes on. At the end of the day, personal branding is very important in real estate, and it is often really, 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 really overlooked by agents, which is fine. You can still build a great business without personal branding, but it is becoming a little bit more important. So if you're trying to build something really, really big in the future, maybe you have aspirations of building your own team or whatever it is, you've got big aspirations in general, a little bit of personal branding goes a long way. This is actually something that here on my team that I have completely allowed the agents to do as much as possible. There's only a few things here and there that we keep as brand identity for the team versus letting the agents individually brand themselves. And generally, when we make a decision like that, it is because it is in the best interest of the entire team versus one person. And as a team leader, I have to think about those kind of things, and your team leader or future team leader will have to be thinking about those things as well. So don't take it too personal if they don't allow you to do too much of your personal branding. Just note that if they're not, and that is something that is important to you, that you'll eventually need to have an exit strategy out of that team so that you can build your personal brand yourself or find some way to build your personal brand inside of their brand, which is not a bad way to go at all. Those are my five pros and cons if you are looking for a brokerage to join. I've got a great one for you. It's called LPT Realty, and you can reach me. All of my contact information is on the screen if you would like to chat about it. Other than that, I will see you guys next week.